welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
There we go. Okay, hello, welcome to episode 401 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm stunning and amazing and incredible because I'm living in the now. How are you?
Yeah, you got a big day tomorrow, right? You're getting your first jab.
Yes, I'm being jabbed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yes, because they only do royalty here on Tuesdays. So.
Where are you off to? You're going to Chester, I believe.
Yeah, it's Chester, sunny Chester. It's been snowing here on and off for days. Let's hope I can still get there tomorrow. That'll be fine.
I think, sadly, we're going to be all right here on this side of the country yet again. Mm. We never get any good snow in the world, man. So
no. A friend of mine over in the Yorkshire Dales has been snowboarding down the fells.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, no chance of that around here. It's all on the East Coast, I think, today.
Yeah, well, we have the Gulf Stream coming up here, don't we? So it's warmer.
Never mind. All right. Well, we're carrying on with the Live in the Present course, you know, the course podcast version of our book. And so each week we're giving away the chapter of the book, which you can download as a PDF from the website. And we're guiding you through. So we've done steps 1 to 3, and we're on step 4 today, aren't we? Which is, remind me what it is, Sean.
Well, it's about actually getting into the present. So it's like these days we talk about mindfulness, but it's like be here now. Let's be in the moment. Let's be in the present right now.
Should I share my screen? So like this is a standard podcast. If you're on audio, don't worry, you're not missing out on too much. But where I'm sharing a PowerPoint or Google presentation that I've quickly knocked together from something that Sean sent to me, which people... If you get the email alerts for this show, you will see a YouTube link, so you can see Sean and I talking over this little presentation, so you can follow along. Should I make a disclaimer for any spelling mistakes this week, Sean, or what?
Yeah, there were a few typos in it. I noticed as I flashed it over, I said, "Oh dear." So I was thinking, did I actually do presentations with those typos in? You know, oh my God.
Imagine. So kind of set the scene, where have we been and where are we up to now?
So we've looked at the idea of being able to forgive other people, being able to let go of that negative baggage, and then looking at the idea of being able to forgive ourselves, which is also negative baggage. A hello to all the people that have emailed me and asked things and stuff, because that if anybody needs to do that, that's fine. I understand that sometimes you hit a block, you know, you're trying to get rid of some difficult stuff, and there's a part of you that feels like, actually, I don't want to get rid of this because I feel justified in my angers or whatever. And also that there can be, we uncover things that we forgot were in the cupboard. You know, we're pulling out the boxes and there's stuff falling down behind. So it can be a bit emotional. And if anyone needs to work anything through, just shout. It's fine. It's good. So we looked at getting rid of the past. Then we looked at the idea of gratitude, because in the past there were lots of people that we were grateful to as well. So on my list, I had to forgive my father for being a bit of a shit. I had to apologise for being a bit of a shit. But then I had to be grateful to him as well for things like he taught me to play music. Which I never would have been able to do, all the stuff I did with music, you know, in life. It's been amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, so the idea is, okay, if we can let go of the past and we can gratefully get into the present, that's where we are now. We're in the mindfulness in this moment now. So mindfulness has become the big buzzword.
Yeah, it's a bit trendy, isn't it, man, to mindfulness. And I think it even gets brought up quite often in schoolwork, I see, for my lads, you know, in... primary school. So what does it mean to you, or what is it?
Well, where my training that was Eastern, the word sati is the word that is used as mindfulness, and sati or smriti are the two words that you get in Pali or Sanskrit, and they just mean to remember. So mindfulness is to remember, and what you're remembering is to be where you are, to be in the now, because your mind wanders, and very few of us are actually in the present. Most of us are all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to do, but that's the point. It's like when you start thinking about your breath, the last breath that you had is actually the past. The next breath you're going to have is the future. And the now is actually in the breath you're having at this moment. And that's true of your heart rate. You know, it's like, where are the heartbeats going? But it's true of your thoughts and your feelings. It's like, how often are we in the moment? And I watch people walking down the road. And so many people are so distracted, they're not actually in the moment. And the worst place you can ever be these days down the road is like this. And there you are. You're on phone online to somebody and you're not actually where you are. I was in the car and a young girl pushing a pram, young girl in her early 20s, she was pushing a pram with the baby in it on the phone and she just walked right out into the road. And if I hadn't been alert and don't know where my brake pedal was, the kid would be gone. You know what I mean? And it's like she was not living in her present at all.
Yeah. Well, she was in some version of her present, I guess. She was probably focused really intently. In fact, she was focused, but luckily you were focused as well.
Yeah.
And you took, well, I don't want to get into like road safety, Ed, here, but yeah, she had right away because she was in the carriageway. So you did the right thing, Sean. You didn't kill her or her child.
Yeah. So that was good. The brakes worked. Yeah.
Very good.
But how often is our mind somewhere else? You know, we're lying in bed, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we should be asleep. Mm. And our mind is going over what happened yesterday, or what happened when we were two, you know, or we're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or next month or whatever, rather than actually just being where we are, being in the moment.
I mean, I can remember another car analogy really, but like back in the day when I used to drive a bit more than I do now, you know, you can drive, especially on a long journey, and you can just kind of, you can get so zoned out of the process of driving that you can, like, big passages of time can just get lost to you, can't they? And as you're daydreaming about stuff. So
where did the last 10 miles go?
Yeah.
Are we there already? Well,
So I don't know if that's, I mean, obviously there's a safety issue there, but what does that say about, I mean, our focus? And I guess it depends what we were thinking about and where our mind was and how happy we were when we were having those thoughts, that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you look at the two parts of the system from an Eastern point of view, you have the yellow chakra, which is awareness, and you have the orange chakra, which is the doing things on that habitual rhythm. So it's assumed that you're in the orange bit where you're just doing what you normally do. It's because you know how to drive. When you start driving, you go and look in the mirror and you do all this but once you can drive, you drive. So you're just driving. But if you're required to be in the aware awake mode, it just triggers and boom, you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can slip into that. It's like I drive to Italy a lot and I say, well, the car knows the way by now, you know, and it's like I know the road so well that I'm just flowing down the roads and I'm coming into complete focused awareness when I need to. And then I'm dropping back into that easy driving mode.
Yeah. So this slide that's on now is talking about focus and meditation. Meditation is something that I've never got to grips with, never got as part of my routine, but that feeling and that kind of focus on your breath alone, that's something that meditation can bring, right?
Yeah, there are a variety of meditation techniques, from focusing on candles, focusing on breath, focusing on different bits of your body, focusing on sounds. There's all different ways of doing it. And I mean, it's a real treat to go around YouTube and the internet and to just kind of play with some ideas and to listen to some different things. I mean, some people do like the sound of whales going at it, and all the sounds of, you know, the rain in the rainforest, that kind of stuff. But it's whatever floats your boat.
Yeah,
really. I like to have fairly quiet meditations is my thing, really. Yeah,
that's how you.
Okay,
go on.
So I like this one. Your paradigm is all the stuff that you gathered together since you took your first breath. And in working on the idea of forgiveness and letting go of the negativity that we hold, we're actually lightening our paradigm and we're kind of creating an easier place to be in so that we're traveling lighter to be able to move into the future. One of the things that happens in this kind of work is that people can kind of want it to happen now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lovely guy called Harv Eker who does the Millionaire Mind, which is a really good awareness program. And the million sort of richness he's talking about isn't just money. It's a richness of living and feeling and being. But one of the comments he makes that always made me laugh, especially when you hear him say it out loud, he says, you got to remember that this stuff moves at the speed of crap. It doesn't move the speed of light, and crap doesn't move very fast. and what he's saying is you've really got to kind of work on this stuff, not in a kind of an intense bashing your head on a rock way, but you need to have that kind of consistent, persistent attitude, you know, that when these things come up, so like if you experience anger, resentment, or criticism, either towards you or you hear it inside you to others. Yeah. If you hear it coming from others, observe it, think, no, I don't need that, let it go, let them keep it. And if you hear it coming up inside yourself, reframe it. Yeah, change the words. You know, if you stub your toe and you go, oh, you bloody idiot, you stub your toe again, as opposed to, oh, thank you for giving me this lovely opportunity to learn this lesson, thank you. Yeah, it's like, change it, make it positive. So if you're feeling unhappiness or frustration, if you get ill or you've got a disease, we all get ill, we all get disease, but some people get ill and kind of go with it. It's like, oh, I'm ill. Yeah. Mm. As opposed to, okay, let's get on with life. Yes. Okay. I'm ill, but I've still got life to live. Yeah. I'm not going to succumb to the negativity of the illness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to adapt. I've got to change. I might need help, but I can still be positive. And I'm amazed by the guy who was in oncology, cancer, and he had compressions on his spine where the cancers were growing. And he was so amazingly positive at the point where his legs didn't work and then his left arm didn't work because everything was shutting down. And he's saying to the nurses, well, look, my right arm works. I can still drink a cup of tea. And he was so amazingly positive about where he was in that moment. Actually freaked all the nurses out. It was quite interesting. one of the biggest things is people get into kind of the negativity and the dark thoughts and oh, my God, everything's so bad. And like we got the virus and we got Brexit, we're all going to die. And like you can really build it up. But the reality is you and I and probably everybody listening to this is actually in a safe, warm space at the moment. And it's like 99% of the time we are safe, we're secure, nothing hurts, it's nothing harms, it's we're fine. But we can actually build the fear and the anxiety about what's going on, you know. But the thing is, if you're sitting where you and I are and you're feeling anything other than complete safety, then you're actually not living in the present, mm-hmm. you know. And it's learning that you're doing that by choice. You don't have to sit in the negativity. You can sit in the positivity of the moment.
I'm sitting here in frustration because I've just had to mute myself and scream at my 6-year-old to keep his voice down in the room next door. I don't know if anyone could hear him shouting away, but I apologise.
So now he's going to be scarred for life.
I know. What have I done to him? Oh, yeah. I'll smooth it over later once I'm done, don't worry. We'll be best friends again in no time.
Glad to hear it. Good stuff. So it's like, okay, moving on. So it's the art of being. It's so easy to be a doing. You know, the joke always is, are you a human being or a human doing? And very often people think that by doing something, they're being mindful and they're kind of living in their present, you know. So if they go for a route march. If they do their yoga, they do their yoga, you know, rather than actually being with it, rather than doing it. Yeah, and there's a lot of this same in meditation, you know, I will relax, I will relax, I will relax. No, you won't. Stop it. You know, you have to do it and just be it. You can't just keep punching it. Yeah, and learning to just focus in the now and to be where you are. And the easiest things are gratitude and appreciation, you know, being able to live easily in the moment. I mean, one of the things I put on this slide was never leave tomorrow, tell tomorrow anything that can be done today. And that's a really important thing, because we can be worrying about what we've got to do tomorrow and maybe we just need to get up and do it. And that can stop it. Yeah. I can remember going into a monastery, stepping over a sweet wrapper, walking up the stairs and going, you should have picked that up. I don't know why you didn't pick that. You should have picked the wrapper up. And I thought, this is stupid. So I went downstairs, picked up the wrapper and threw it in the bin. And my head shut up. I thought, that's a good idea. Yeah, just do it. Stop worrying about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've stuck a quote on the end of that slide, which is from one of my teachers, who used to say clever things to me. And he'd say to me, you're never ready to live till you're ready to die. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, until you come to terms with the fact that you're going to die, you can't really get on with your life, because you're always going to be worried about it at the end. And I didn't realise the truth of what he meant until later on when I'm doing work with people. And I work with people that are coming to end of life, so they could be in their 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. And they act like they're surprised. Like, well, I never thought this had happened to me, kind of thing. Yeah? And it's a very real thing, that idea about life, death. Yeah.
There's a line in Fight Club, the film or the book as well, saying it's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything. Now, the movie Fight Club's a bit of a kind of nihilistic journey into ditching consumerism and amazing film actually. But there's something in that line, I think, you know, it's about giving up your fancy clothes, your car, your house with all the trappings of modern living and all that kind of stuff, and just existing, you know, as a human being. So, in that, I think.
Yeah, I love it.
You talk, you talk quite a lot on the course, I recall, about your monkey, don't you? So, yeah, you're going to have to explain to everyone why the monkey is so important.
Well, it's interesting, though. The book came out, The Chimp Paradox, and I thought, well, that's amazing, because a long time ago when I was in the East, I've got people talking to me about monkeys. So my teacher says to me, your mind's a monkey. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's a negative monkey, just goes off and throws bananas at you. And I'm saying, I don't get what you mean. So there's a part of you that's like a monkey, it's your mind. And if you don't attend to it and keep it in the cage, it gets out and runs off. So some people have anxious monkeys, angry monkeys, mischievous monkeys, all kinds of things. So he said to me, name your monkey. And I'm thinking, what on earth are you talking about? No, go on, give your monkey a name. And I'm thinking, that sounds like multiple personality disorder going on. So in the end, I call my monkey Eric. Apologies to anybody listening. This is called Eric. But it was the first name that came into my head. So Eric is the negative side of me that came out when I was younger and was quite prevalent then. And my teacher was teaching me how to get Eric to go back in the cage and to actually start to be appreciative of Eric and to quieten Eric down and stop getting Eric in a bad state. So over the years, I've said to other people, you need to name your monkey.
Yeah.
And people say, I say, okay, what naming it? They say, I'm going to call it You Bastard. And I say, no, it has to be something positive. It has to be something nice, you know, Gladys, Nelly, whatever. Call it something that you can kind of be positive with. And when the monkey comes out to play and comes out as negative thoughts, reframe the thoughts. When it comes out as negative feelings, reframe the feelings. If it comes out as negative behaviours, reframe the behaviors, apologize. Yeah. Working with that bit of your mind. They say the devil finds work for idle hands. Well, an empty mind finds work for naughty monkeys, you know. It's not good.
Has your monkey got a name then?
My monkey.
Yeah.
My monkey's Eric.
Oh, Eric the monkey. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember if I named mine way back when I did the course. I will have, but I don't remember what it was. So maybe I've been free of him for that long, I've forgotten, but I probably
he'll come back now.
He'll be back. Yeah. The next slide is about change. So we talk about this all the time on and off, you know, pretty much every episode about the show is about how hard it is for change. But why is it that people don't change, Sean? What are your classic reasons and what is the psychology?
Because we are habit learning organisms. We learn the habits, and we learn those habits when we are younger and they become fixed. And then people say, it's just the way that I am. And then I'm saying, no, it's the way you've learned to be. And then people are having problems with that. But the problem is that they don't realize that they can learn to be different. And the issue of if you learn to be the way you are, where you can learn to be the way you want to be. And that's where this goes. If you can let go of the past, you can get in the present. Okay, what do you want? Where are you going to go? What you can do? Yeah, and that's one of the magic things about this kind of work. So it's like people don't stop growing and developing, but people get into this space where that inner paradigm, the past stuff, tells them they can't. You know, and people use words like all should, must, and can't to stop them changing and developing. But if you're going to create effective, lasting change, you have to challenge the paradigm and change the paradigm. It's all those voices in your head, the negativity. Oh, you can do that. Oh, no. No. And it's like very often they come from other people. Yeah. And it's realizing that the way that we are, we call it the law of attraction, because what we focus on, we keep building. Yeah, it's something, it's not wishful thinking, it's actually an exercise of choice. I'm choosing to be negative, I'm choosing to be limited, yeah, I'm choosing to be angry, but it's only when I take responsibility for it that I can change it. And that's when I get into the world I want to be in, not the world I have been in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, amazing. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's fascinating, you know, I think about my new business that I set up on environmental stuff is all about changing habits, people's habits. So I think all the time about how I can change people's habits, but that's not the right way of looking at it, really. It's not how I can change, it's how they can change themselves and how I can facilitate that, you know, as quickly as possible. But
that's when you get into all those psychological concepts of nudging.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. So you're moving people towards where they need to be, very often without them realizing that they're doing it. They're just being nudged that way.
Yeah. Mm. Karma, or the law of karma, is something that everyone, well, most people will have some kind of understanding of. So, but what does karma mean to you, and where do people go wrong?
People talk about karma as negative. Oh, you're going to get your karma for that. Yeah. The word karma just means consequence. So it's the consequence of action. Everybody's action leads to a consequence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being awake, being aware, being mindful is being aware of the consequences of your actions. Yeah. So it's no different to the laws of motion. It's just a law of emotion. If you treat people badly, guess what? They're likely to treat you badly too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you treat people well, then the chance are people are going to look after you. Yeah. And the ultimate way of dissolving all karma is this phrase that I keep coming back to. I'm going to have it tattooed on my forehead. If we all look after each other, then we're all going to be all right. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. If we can just all keep working with each other and making sure each other are okay, nobody has any problems. Yeah, it can be as simple as that. And people go, oh, that's just so stupid, isn't it? I mean, it's like hippies. You know, people don't do that. It doesn't mean to say that they can't do that. It doesn't mean to say that they won't do that as we evolve emotionally. But we can. There's enough food, there's enough everything for everybody if we just do it, yeah, and just make sure that everyone is okay, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Beautiful. Yeah. All right, that's cool. I mean, yeah, how do we explain things? Sometimes bad things happen to good people, don't they? So is that down to karma, or is that how do we explain those things sometimes?
How about you look at it like this? Karma isn't about what happens to us. It's about how we respond to it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah? So that, in the world, bad things happen. You know, planes crash, trains crash, you know, things happen. It's difficult, you know, but that's not the point. The point is when something bad happens, what happens next? Yeah, there's floods, you know, there's earthquakes. Do we all gang together, look after everybody, make sure everybody's okay as well as we can? Yeah, or do we hunker down and go, I'm going to keep my resources over here so you can't have them?
Mm.
You know, and we see all that going on at the moment between the UK, Europe and whoever over the vaccines, you know, like who can have the vaccines, who can't, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's going to be lots of people in the world, lots of countries in the world that can't afford the vaccines. You know, are we going to look after them as well?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
The power of now. This is a good quote because this is it's said to be a Buddha quote, but it actually I got it from the Kung Fu Panda, which I thought was a really good movie. but the teacher in Kung Fu Panda says, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift, and that's why we call it the present." Ta-da! Which I thought was a really clever play on words. Yeah.
Beautiful. The bit about jam, you can only have jam today, is not, that's not part of the quote.
No, it's not part of the quote. No. That comes from when I was a kid, there was a pub in the, called the Elephant, in the Elephant Castle, the Elephant Castle pub. And they had a big sign up outside which said free beer tomorrow. Massive sign. And so people would roll in the next day going, "I come for my free beer." And they go, "No, it's tomorrow." Because it was never today. The free beer was always tomorrow. So you never got any free beer. And that's the thing about, you know, you can't have jam tomorrow. You can only have jam today. You can only, you know, do something today. It doesn't happen tomorrow.
I wonder if the trading standards would probably be onto him now, or onto the, you wouldn't be able to advertise that now anymore, would you?
I think it was a very clever advertising ploy, I think. Yeah. It was good.
Love it.
Yeah. So look, you know, being in the present, be here now, enjoy the present, see it as a gift. When you keep blaming people for the past, you know, and you keep going backwards, you tend to get depressed. When you start getting fearful of the future and worrying about what happens next, you tend to get anxious. And the only way that you stay sane is to stay right in this moment. You know, depression, past, anxiety, future, happiness, now.
I guess I don't want to, like, put a time stamp on these videos too much, because hopefully people will stumble across this course months and years into the future. But right now we're in a very unique little section of human history, aren't we, where everyone's planet Earth is kind of, as we know it, has shut down to one degree or another, and we're all staying home, or, you know, attempting to. So a lot of people are kind of wishing the next, whether it's few weeks, few months away, in search of normal and, like, that return to the normal life. So when you're speaking with clients and people that are anxious, you know, understandably anxious about when we can start seeing people again and, I don't know, getting back to work, you know, that kind of thing, how are you teaching them to live in the present and enjoy this moment?
The thing is that normal, we want to get back to this normal, but normal never really exists. Normal is only what's actually happening in the present right now. What happened in the past, we're going to look back nostalgically on. And what's going to happen in the future, we're going to crave for this future. So we get this attachment to the past and the craving to the future, which may or may not happen. You know, is it on the 22nd of February that there's going to be an announcement the world's going to change? Because there will be an announcement on the 22nd of February. But, or is it going to be in March or May or June? So and in a sense, it doesn't matter if we're actually living in the present. If we spend our life worrying about what happens next, we just get more anxious. You know, and if we spend our life and being attached to what used to be, then we get more depressed. It's like the only place we can be is right in the moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. We do need to be living in this minute, you know. There's something in here which is about being honest, because there's a kind of dishonesty in nostalgia. There's a looking backwards to, wow, isn't it amazing? You know, how wonderful it always was. Well, it actually wasn't. It's just that we're looking back and we're rewriting history to fit our present. Yeah. Just in the same way that we're all going to look forward and say, isn't it going to be so amazing when we all get together and it's going to be, you know, and yeah, it might be, but it might not be, you know, and it's like, but we can make it amazing now, right this minute, whether we're doing it online, whether we're actually able to walk with people, talk with people, whatever we're doing, we can be in this minute.
But yeah, no,
honesty plays a game with our perception.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm looking forward to obviously seeing friends and family big time. But I think there will quickly come a point when normal life, inverted commas, resumes. I'm quite enjoying my time at the moment. I'm spending so much time with my lads in this precious little time of life for them, when they're proper little human beings, and I can have a laugh with them and speak to them about almost anything. But you know, they'll still want a kiss and a cuddle at the end of the day and all that kind of stuff, and they'll cuddle up and have a bedtime story. So there'll probably be a point a year or two from now, or beyond 10 years from now, where I'll look back and wish that I was locked away in a house with my two little boys and my wife, so we can just watch movies endlessly, you know. So yeah, I'm trying to enjoy it as best I can.
Okay. So on the course, when we go into the idea of the truth, we're looking at the ideas of what is it that we're processing with our mind. We know that when people are honest and open, that their immune systems are more powerful, which sounds a bit weird, but it's true. It's real. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you hold negativity inside you, it affects your system. It affects your blood pressure, the stress hormones. It hardens your arteries. There's lots of stuff in there if you don't let go of the negativity. And like negativity equals disease. And a lot of it is like because people get confused with the truth. So we got the moment where some people are being told, if you take the vaccine, it's going to make you sterile or impotent, you know, or it's loaded up with bugs and things that are going to make people be able to trace you for years, you know. When you start looking at the truth is the way that I see the world. But the thing is, if somebody says something, it doesn't mean to say it's true. Someone can say to me, Sean, I hate you, you're this, that, the other. But that might be their stuff, not mine. I don't need to build it into my paradigm, yeah? But that also means that if inside my head, the way I was brought up was, because I had that thing with my dear old dad where he used to call me a bloody idiot all the time. And I ended up believing it until I left home and discovered that maybe I wasn't. It's like sometimes the voices in your head that are saying to you, you can't do that, or you're fat, or you're stupid, or you this, whatever. Where do those voices come from? And it's like, are they truth or not? And when you're looking at changing your paradigm so you can be in the present and create your future, you have to challenge those things inside you. Yeah. One of the things that is so important, I go on about this in the course a lot, is that when you say something, you hear it. So if I say I'm stupid, I hear that, and then that reinforces it. And the more I say it, the more I hear it, the more it becomes embedded in my mind.
Ouch.
Yeah. Or it could be if I'm saying something about someone else, oh, they're horrible. The more I say it, the more I believe it, the more my perception changes. Yeah. Whereas if I can just change it a bit and say, oh, I used to find that difficult, but I'm getting better at it, then it starts to change the paradigm. If I start to change what's coming out of my mouth and what's going through my mind.
Yeah, so those words count for a lot, hey, that we speak. And we hear every single one of them, not just of what other people are saying, but what we're saying ourselves.
Yeah. Next slide on from that one.
Yeah.
If what we're looking at is the need to change. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Sorry. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Here you go.
If you always play out the same paradigm, you'd always be the same person. So it's like if you always do the same things the same way, you always get the same results. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're going to change who you are, you've got to change how you think, how you feel, and how you act. You've got to change what you do. And that might mean doing something like changing how you eat, changing how you drink, changing how you exercise, changing how you think, how you talk, how you feel. Yeah, but unless you sit down and do a kind of audit of where I'm up to, what do I want, what don't I want, what feels good, what feels bad, then you never really know. Yeah. It's like, and that's the only way that you change your paradigm. Yeah. And when you look at people's actions are the symptom of the paradigm. If you meet someone who's a miserable, moaning person, it's because inside their paradigm, there's a lot of miserable, moaning thoughts. Yeah, and if they change those thoughts, they stop moaning. Yeah,
there was there's a quote in the Twits, isn't there, a famous one that Roald Dahl, about kind of how people that say horrible things and they speak horrible things starts to show on their face and they become kind of ugly people, which is quite a famous one. And I'm watching a bit of trashy TV, that Married at First Sight Australia at the moment. And there's loads of characters in it. I'm watching season 6, I think. I can't remember which, but anyway, there's someone in it. There's a girl in it who is on the surface, you're a beautiful young lady. Like, she ticks all the boxes. But the way she talks, and as she's kind of evolved through the series, you've got to know her better. The way I perceive her physically has changed, and I no longer see a kind of a really attractive person, because the way she talks makes her look ugly as well. It's really strange. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think the thing that really plays into that is the amount of people that I'm dealing with who are doing online dating, because you see the picture, but you don't feel the person. Yeah. And someone might kind of look good, but behind the good, there may be another story going on. We don't know. Mm. Yeah. And it's like, do people match up to the image that they present in a picture or in a description of themselves? Is only when they start to act. I think I read a write-up on the lady, or a blonde lady. Yeah.
I read a write-up. I've been watching it.
Yeah, no, it was on the news feed about this woman who was so negative and horrible to the guy she was with.
All right, okay. Yeah, that'll be her, actually. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. If you change what's going on inside you, like in the woman we're talking about, you change your paradigm, and you change the way your life is. So it's like, if you don't change, it's the same old. But if you do change, then you're playing out things that change your karma, as in the consequences of your thoughts, feelings, and actions become different. And the thing is that there are no exceptions to these rules. It's like, what you think, you feel, and you do, you will bring about. Mm. You know, what you think about, you bring about. What you feel about, you bring about. The way you act brings about consequences. And if you keep doing the same things in the same way, nothing changes. Yeah, and that's one of the things. It's like gravity. There are no, you can't pretend gravity doesn't exist. And karma, in that sense, the consequence of your actions, is there. Yeah, you can't pretend it doesn't. You know.
Yeah, and I guess it's worse than things not changing if you're in a particular mindset. Because things are always changing in the universe, aren't they? So, but in this case, you're kind of digging yourself into a bigger and bigger hole. Getting worse and worse.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? It's like people that are kind of bitter, people get more bitter over time. Mm. And people that are angry get more angry over time. It grows. It's not nice. Yeah. So the thing is about, and this is the point in the course, is like we start to ask people a question, which is like, what do you want? What do you want? If you've let go of the past and you've gone into the present, what are you going to do with it? You've got this thing called life to live. How do you want to live it? And mm-hmm. there's lots of things that we do along the way to kind of work with that.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody has to have somewhere to go, as in you need to kind of wake up in the morning driven with purpose. And people that have no purpose, they get really stressed as those people that are overloaded. It's like it's a really hard place to be, because it does feel like same old all the time. And if you look at the natural process of evolution, it is to the betterment of you and other people. It's making things change. But overall, you need to be stretched. You need something to pull you. You need something to go for, something to work for. You need to achieve something.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be, you know, you need to be a millionaire. It could be like simple things, really simple, small things, but they are so important.
Yeah, this is where things start to get interesting. Once you've managed to process all those first three steps and start to live in the moment, this is where things can get quite exciting. But I guess, and we'll come on to this more in future episodes and steps, is that you don't want to be stuck chasing someone else's dream or the dream of, you know, whatever that magazine's telling you to chase or that TV show is telling you to chase. Now, that's the tricky part, isn't it?
Yeah. So at this point, we play the game, and the game can become reality if you can do it. So the issue is, what do you want? What do you really, 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 really want? What do you want? You know, and it's like, think outside the box. People are limited by what they think they can have. Well, what do you want?
Mm.
You know, and we had people on the course that were from people that just wanted to wake up in the morning with a smile on their face, through to people that wanted to do million-pound projects. Yeah, and there's nothing's bigger or smaller or too big or too small. It's like, allow yourself to look at what is it I'd really want to be? What would I want to do? How would I want to live? And then, okay, if you can see that, then you can start to work with it. But overall, don't let your old paradigm limit your dream. And as I have on my bookshelf here, the quote from Winston Churchill, which is never, 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 never give up. Yeah? And that was his thing throughout the war. Never give up, never give up. Keep going, keep trying. And that's one of the things about this whole idea about changing is don't let the old paradigm pull you back. All those old attachments, the limitations, the kind of programming that you've had, let it go. Mm. Become who you want to be. What do you want to be? You know, I've seen people do the most amazing things through going through that process.
Yeah.
Oh, this just becoming what they want.
Yeah, no, I've met quite a lot of people I'm still friendly with, you know, on the courses way back when, and they're all still. Yeah. And I guess the important thing to do, as again, we'll talk about more, is that just because you haven't achieved it, or maybe you haven't even realized what it is, even after 6 months, a year, just the process of kind of trying to get there is quite enlightening, isn't it? And can be.
Yeah, I mean, very, very often people will say, no, I've decided that's where I'm going. They head off in that direction. And then halfway along the path, they think, no, I don't want to do that. I want to go that way. But the thing is, if they hadn't headed off in the first place, they wouldn't have got to where they wanted to go, because they would have been stuck back in the old paradigm. Mm-hmm. You know, and very often change can take several years to bring about. Sometimes it involves a bit of training or a bit of development, a bit of doing something. You know, and that's okay. That's fine. We've got plenty of life to live. We've got time.
Cool. You know? All right. Yeah. We'll come on to that next week then. Step five, I think it's intention is the title, I believe.
It is indeed.
All right. Well, we'll stop recording now and get this one in the bank and catch up with everyone next week. But Sean, you have fun with your inoculation, your jab, and I hope
all goes well. I'll be fine.
All righty. Catch up with you later on.
You take care.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.